We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
All right. Very good, Andrew. I am Jim. I'm with Andy and Bob. And for quarter number four, we're going to continue our positional preview for the 2019 season. Previously, we've done quarterbacks, wide receivers, defensive line. Earlier in our show today, we did linebackers. And by the way, you can find all those segments on the app, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, website, everywhere. We're everywhere, Bob. All right. Let's get to the running backs. And I have one request, gentlemen. If I ask you a question about Ricky Slade, do not tell me about Journey Brown, okay?
We'll see about that, Jim. We'll just see how it plays out. There's so no promises where it's going to go.
All right. Let's start with Ricky Slade. He is the presumptive starter.
Yeah.
Is it running back committee? What does that mean? How much of the load is Ricky Slade going to carry, Bob?
I mean, he's physically probably the most talented kid, I think. We know that Ross Tucker has some strong feelings about a true freshman, but I think Ricky Slade showed last year a couple of things. He showed the fact that he's got jets. He had the 61-yard run at Illinois in the second half. He showed with his first touchdown at Penn State against Appalachian State, he can pick up tough yards between the tackles. I just am surprised. The thing I'm surprised about with Ricky is in the spring, Jaywan Sider talked about it, and he was playing at like 206 pounds, and they wanted to get him to 210, and they want him to get him to hold it. Now on the roster, they have him at under 200 pounds. I mean, I don't know why that is, but I will say that I think it's a lot tougher to consistently run between the tackles when you're less than 200 pounds. Now, he's not the tallest guy. He's the most talented guy. I think you're gonna see more of the running backs as receivers this year. We've talked about that. But I think the more interesting conversation is, like, how are they going to use the three behind Slade? Right. Because they could go a couple different ways, and I think that Journey Brown looks really good. He really does, and I think they like him a lot, but it's like the linebacker room. There's a couple of four-stars right behind him.
Is there a chance we'll see two-back formations, Andy?
I don't think we're going to see two-back formations. I really don't. I think you're going to see – so you asked Bob about, you know, how much are we going to see – how much of the load is Ricky Slade going to carry? And I think, in my mind, the way he's built and what he's good at, I think he's 60% of Penn State's backfield production. In other words, you know, whether it's receiving or rushing, if Ricky Slade is producing 60, 65% of that yards on a consistent basis, total yards, that's your ideal scenario. They have too much talent, and Journey Brown, we're talking about Journey Brown and Ricky Slade, sorry, Jim. Journey Brown is emerging as sort of the role right behind Slade to spell him is Journey Brown's role. I think the two freshmen, they're going to carve out different roles for them to make up the other 20%. In other words, I'm going 60, 20, and the two freshmen a combined 20% role. The thing I like about Ricky Slade the most, real quick, is he kind of goes forward more than you think a little bit. His yards per carry is pretty good, but he doesn't have a lot of negative plays. And six touchdowns in 45 carries is a really good number. In other words, he's got a nose for the end zone, and he doesn't get caught behind the backfield very often. Ideal for a 60 to 65% running back. Got a little pop, got a little speed, got a little jiggle and wiggle in the hole. There's a lot to like about him, but he can't carry the load 80% of the time on his own.
All right, so I think we all understand what Ricky Slade could provide. He will get the...
He's a feature back.
He will get the most carries.
Right.
So where do the other three fit in? We saw Noah Kane be that guy. James Franklin described him as he'll always get you 4 yards, and you look up and before you know it, he has 100 yards. Could we see a situation where third and short, we see Noah Kane?
I think that to follow up on what Andy said, I think if you look at it like Ricky Slade plays two possessions, Journey plays the next one, they go back to Ricky. When they're in the red zone or it's third and one, I think Noah Cain's the guy. I think he is what sets him apart is he can do some things that the other three really are not maybe physically equipped to do. And the fact that James continually talks about how he shows up when it's live and he always falls forward, I think he can really help their third down conversion rate. And I think that's important. I think the other thing that James always preaches is the 4-minute offense to close out games late in the game. Well, you want to talk about somebody with fresh legs who's always going to get 3 or 4 yards a carry. It might be Noah Cain. I'm not so sure as I look at Devin Ford, you know, they might have a discussion as talented as he is. I don't think it's a guarantee that he plays more than 4 games
if
everyone's healthy.
I agree.
And just looking at him physically compared to the other three, he looks like he needs a year in the lab.
He does.
He does. Like he's got he's a home run threat, but they already have two guys. They have the Pennsylvania sprint champion and they got Ricky Slade. So the odd man out, I think, as of right now, is probably Devin Ford, as talented as he is. And I just think that if you're going to play Devin Ford his whole freshman season, I think it's got to be worthwhile for the kid. And I'm not sure how that's going to shake out. But I do think Noah Cain is the guy when it's third and one or they're inside the 5-yard line.
The only way I think you play Ford more than 4 games because he does need some time in the lab is an injury. If either Ricky Slade or Journey Brown go down, you have to fill that more consistent role in either as the guy or the backup. Other than that, I just don't see it. I think maybe he becomes a little bit more of a weapon in the passing game because I think overall the production at the running back position in terms of pass catching and receiving, and I think all four of them are pretty good at it. In fact, I think they need to be really good at it for this offense to function best. Think about it. Last year, all the running backs that played had 30 catches total in 13 games. That is not how this offense functioned best. There was a reason for it and a very good reason for it, but they've got so many options now. Make that number double and figure out how to use it best. That makes your running back position that much more of a weapon because you have a stockpile of talent.
You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, and especially during these summer months, Andy.
These summer months.
If you bleed blue and white,
you better be drinking blue and light.
All right. If I hear you guys correctly, what we're looking at is Noah Cain is that specialist. He's the
red zone,
third and short. And if we're going to see Devin Ford on the field, it will be at the expense of carries of either Journey Brown
Ricky
Slade.
And when I say lab, I mean Dwight Galt's lab. He just looks physically like maybe he could use about 5 or 6 more pounds of muscle. Not that he looks bad.
And remember,
he just looks a little bit – he doesn't look like the other three.
He didn't get here early.
Correct.
Like Noah Cain did. So there wasn't the time for that. Let's look ahead a little bit. We had something different here. Two really high-end running backs in Devin Ford and Noah mm-hmm. Cain are part of as true freshmen. You could see as they progress in, say, in 2 years, those two running backs both getting a lot of carries, complementing each other. Is that the new model? Is that now Penn State just picked up a commitment for the 2020 season? Keziah Holmes,
another 4-star from Florida,
and we all know when you get a recruit, a commitment from far away. But
hold on,
they're still looking for more running backs to add. So is that going to be the standard now, 2 running backs at a time?
I think so because of the physical nature of the position, because it's in the Big Ten, and because, I mean, these guys are only going to probably be here for 3 years. I mean, at least one of them is. Whoever assumes the lead role, they're going to leave early. They just are because they're talented kids, and that's what every college is dealing with. So recruit them in bunches and know that. I think that if you're a running back, Ross Tucker's touched on this. You look at what Alabama and Georgia do. They play 3 guys, and even if they only have 600 or 700 yards, the league actually kind of likes that because they're not beat up, and they'll still get found out, and they'll still go. You look at Josh Jacobs at Alabama. You look at DeAndre Swift, who might be a first round pick this year from Georgia. Like you don't need to carry the ball 250 times for the NFL to notice you. I think this is the way that it's going. You need to plan on using three backs, and you're going to be a better team for it. And the running back is going to have a better chance in the NFL to maybe get a first or second contract after a high draft kind of showing.
James was a mile ahead of college football to a degree on the way he ran the running back position in his offense. If you go all the way back to his time at Vanderbilt and watched it, it was built around the running back and the slot receiver, and the running back was the most important position on the field. At Vanderbilt, he used multiple running backs. He liked having a deep running back room, and he used them all. That's what he wanted to bring to Penn State, just the freak that was Saquon Barkley, and then Miles Sanders in a one-year window. He didn't have it, so he had to change what he wanted to do as his preference and what he likes to run best for his offense and go to a feature one-back system. He's going back, and he's stocking the room with it. He kind of moaned a little bit about them being too close together. Don't worry. With the way he knows how to use a running back position, this is a very good thing for Penn State. And this is the first year you're going to really get to see it from his offense.
Well, my reaction to that, and I said it last week, I'll say it again. If your complaint is I've got too much young talent, that's not such a bad problem.
Yeah, and to be fair, he was asked a question about it, and he didn't necessarily want to answer the question that he was asked. He just wanted to, he kind of deflected a little bit. He didn't really volunteer that information.
Right.
It was not dragged out of him, but he kind of had to go somewhere he didn't want to go.
And remember, Ricky's been with him for 13 years. This is the way Ricky was brought up as an offensive coach and coordinator, to run the offense like this. He didn't get to do that last year.
Can I just say, and this is off topic with a minute to go.
Sure.
I cannot wait for the Michigan Penn State game when it's Ronnie versus Josh Gattis. It really is. Yeah. That's going to be a storyline. And if I'm telling you, both offenses better come to play, because there's going to be a lot written and said before the game about it and a lot after the game about it, because James had a choice to make. He made it, and let's see how it plays out on the field.
Since you brought up Josh Gattis, how much power is he going to have? Is it going to be his offense?
I think Jim knows that he wasn't cutting it as a de facto OC, and I think that he needs someone who understands RPO concepts. And who else other than Josh Gattis, the Alabama guy who interned under – he didn't even interview him. You know that. He hired him.
Oh, really?
You know, he never really interviewed him face-to-face. He just gave him the keys to the offense.
All right. That is it for this week's show. Remember to download the Keystone Sports app from your app store and get all of our content. Don't forget, you could also check us out on Spotify. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Andy. And we'll see you all next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.